Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
To the highway, in a brand new day.
Open the voice gate for January 30th, 2024. We are members of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can find us on the Voices of Wrestling podcast feed or our own dedicated Open the Voice Gate feed on podcast platforms. You can follow us on Twitter X at Open Voice Gate. If you would like to donate to the show, you can click the link in the show notes. It'll take you to our redcircle.com landing site. Click the red boxes to sponsor this podcast, and you can set up a one-time, a reoccurring donation, no obligation whatsoever, but we would like to thank all of our previous donors. I'm one of your hosts. It's your old pal, Mike Spears, joined alongside, as always, by our co-host, Case Lowe. And Case, how are you doing tonight? How has your 2024 been as we are staring down the... it's already February, and I feel like I've not accomplished anything, is what I'm saying.
I joined a gym. I gave up soda. Temporarily, but gave up soda for the next week. So I've accomplished stuff in 2024, but I don't feel any better about myself.
But have you given up the pop for good, or are you counting down for the first Sierra Mist you're going to get yourself?
Sorry.
I didn't mean to bring up old wounds.
No, let's talk about it. So for my shoot job, we were doing like a dry January, but I don't drink. So I was like, I'll give up soda, and we parlayed that into a weight loss challenge. And for the last half of 2023, I was at all, you know, 3 or 4 sodas a day and eating worse than I ever have, just not really caring. So I was like, I'm going to give up soda and I'm going to win this weight loss challenge because the weight is going to fly right off. Turns out that's not what happened, which is very annoying. I pivoted to sparkling ice, and specifically the sparkling ice caffeine version, because I get up very early in the morning. So I've been starting my day with that instead of a soda, and then throughout the day, I've been doing the sparkling ice, sparkling water.
How have you liked the lemon-lime sparkling ice caffeine?
It's great. It's great. I don't remember if we talked about that on or off air last week, but that's great.
So yeah, I'm glad you liked it, because when I drank that, I was like, oh, this could be a Case drink.
Yeah, no, thank you. That's very kind of you. So somebody told me that there's some ingredient in the sparkling ice that is totally preventative for weight loss. And that's why without exercise, because I wasn't exercising, that I wasn't losing any weight. And I was very annoyed. And I realized last week, son of a bitch, I'm going to have to join a gym. And so your question was about soda. This was a long way to go about it. when the challenge ends, which is the Super Bowl, is kind of it's when we can go back to doing what we did previously. I'm going to go back to soda, but not in the way that I was doing it. What'll be nice is when I go out to a restaurant, I can have a little Coke and I can do my thing there. But I think it's going to be primarily a weekend thing. That's what I'm going to try to do, because I like this sparkling ice caffeine. It's good. And, you know, I wake up at 3:30 in the morning for my job. Normally I get home 11:30, noon, 12:30, and I take a nap. But since I kicked soda out, I haven't been napping. And thank God on a day like today when I had a lot going on, I didn't need to crash. So I feel better. So less soda than previously. But, you know, I can't quit it entirely.
I mean, we have to see what Mountain Dew is going to put out in October.
Hey, thank you. And you understand the crux of my my issue. Baja yeah. Blast in stores all year this year. There's a lot going on. I'm not going to give it up entirely, but I have a caffeinated drink in the morning that I like that is better for me than the 5 a.m. Coca-Cola that I normally drink. So it's a nice pivot.
I just imagine the 5 a.m. Coca-Cola as like, as someone that, like, I'm not super coffee drinker, I'm much more of a tea drinker, but just like I don't know. My fiance is a big Diet Coke drinker, and she always like starts the day with a Diet Coke, and I just can't do it. And I don't know. I wonder about that 5 a.m. Diet Coke, buddy. Well, I mean, think you'll like it a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm up at 3:30 and I'm start work, you know, I work on the bus on the way in. So I'm starting work at like 4:15 in the morning. So by the time, you know, 5:30 or 6 rolls around, it's like, all right, I've been up for a little bit. Like I'm cooking here.
That's fair.
You know, it's why. So, but it's like, you know, this is the thing that has to stop, right? Is the early morning soda and then the bag of potato chips from the vending machine. That's what I'm looking to cut out. And I haven't found the snack that I can, because it's just during the show. That's when I snack. I don't snack throughout the day, but 6 to 10 a.m. I'm on the air, and when we're in commercial break, I like chewing on something. I like having a little drink, and that's the void I have to fill. I don't know the healthy snack yet. I've been doing trail mix, but peanuts are high in fat, so I don't know how much that helps. If I can figure out the snack, I've got the drink. I'll be good to go going forward.
I'm gonna throw it out there: beef jerky.
Okay. Obviously love the idea. I'm with you to some degree. Shockingly expensive.
Yeah, that is
just
the thing.
Just can't get on board with it on a consistent basis.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I go and I look and I'm like, okay, this is a pretty good bag of beef jerky. It's like $7. I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah, no, it's just it's not a thing that I'm gonna commit to just on a financial level, but taste wise, that's exactly what I'm looking for. It might end up being apple slices or something, but yeah, I can't do the beef jerky.
I just think, like, I'm someone that, like, when I work, like, I have to have no snacks. Like, I have to eat when I eat, because if I leave snacks around, like, chips are my bad thing, and I will just inactively eat. Like, especially as someone who works from home, like, if I go into the kitchen, it's like, oh, I can just go grab, like, a thing of pretzels or something. I was like, no, I shouldn't do that. Like, that was the hardest thing for me.
Yeah, you know, I've just found, since I live by myself, if I just don't buy those things, that I won't have a problem with it. So I don't have snacks in my house. I mean, every once in a while I'll do like a Chex Mix or something like that. But, you know, if I'm really feeling like treating myself, I'll do the bite-size Hawaiian pretzel rolls. I really enjoy those. But for the most part, I have lunch and dinner in the house, and that's kind of it. And, you know, maybe a banana here and there, but I'm not a huge snack guy. I found that I could cut that out of my life pretty easily.
I'm jealous about that. Something that we can't cut out of our lives, Case, it is Dragon Gate.
I've tried so hard. I just can't do it. look, this is not the most glamorous life. It's not the most glamorous hobby.
You know, and it's hard to quit Dragon Gate when they have their first big match of the year. They had the long-awaited debut in Yokohama for a big show. The Gate of Bayside from Yokohama Budokan from January 27th. That's going to be the crux of this episode of Open the Voice Gate this weekend. Really, Case, just off the top, big picture thoughts. Leaving Yokohama, your written review is up on Open the Voice Gate. Oh, not Open the Voice Gate. Up at voicesofwrestling.com. Right now, what were your big takeaways?
My big takeaway is that I'm going to hit you with some breaking news. Are you ready for this?
All right, let's do it.
All right. And we'll get to Gate of Bayside in just a second, but this is Dragon Gate related. We had on Gate of Bayside the Open the Brave Gate Championship match between Hyo and Kagetora. Hyo retained. And Mike, we have our Brave Gate challenger for Memorial Gate in Wakayama.
Oh, who is it?
You want to take a guess?
I don't think they're going to put Tanaka back in there this quickly.
No, I wish they would.
With that, that makes me wonder, is it Punch to Managa?
Yeah, my friends, we're getting on a ice cold Memorial Gate in Wakayama show, a show that feels like it might do 300 paid. We are getting Hyo versus Punch to Managa for the Brave Gate belt.
Well, we'll see how much of a draw Hyo really is.
That is fair.
You might as well have a main event that sucker, because I know they had that Triangle Gate match that might not happen if Kai is still hurt. So you might as well.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. They might not have that Triangle Gate match. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, luckily we have a bunch of good stuff to talk about, and we can move past the unfortunate news that we just received that Punch Tabanaga's in a Brave Gate match. I really enjoyed Gate of Bayside. Thought it was a great show. Two great 4.5-star matches. One of my personal favorite Dragon Gate matches in a very long time was on this show. Not one of the best I've seen, but one of just, you know, on the Case Desert Island playlist. I've got a match that would go on there. And overall, just I thought a really enjoyable and efficient Dragon Gate show.
You know, efficient is a good word to use to describe the showcase. I think it is something where, what is efficiency? Efficiency is everything as it should be. You know, we had two, what I would call a blowaway title matches. The other two were tidy and they got the job done. Maybe a little underwhelming in the Brave Gate kind of position. But then the rest of it, like you accomplished everything you needed to accomplish and it ended up being a 3-hour big show. Like that, it's a tidy and just like a checklist show. And I think when you look at a new venue and one that there was a good amount of anticipation for Dragon Gate finally doing this Yokohama big show, I think you would have to walk away with that. And then with the over 2,000 attendance and just say, like, all right, for what we were doing and what we're doing now, this is the path forward. And I think it's hard to look at the Gate of Bayside and the Yokohama Budokan as anything other than a success.
Yeah, they claimed 2,086 for the show, which is a very strong number in that building in the current economy. I went through some of the ticket sales last week on the air, and I was noting that by that point, only one of the sections had completely sold out, but a lot of them had limited tickets remaining. 24 hours before the show, at least on the ticketing website that I was on, and there was, you know, multiple websites and ways to get tickets to the show, but on the ticketing website that I was on, all of the available sections were completely sold out with the exception of the lowest tier worst seats in the house. So however you want to decipher it, however much stock you put into the Dragon Gate number, undoubtedly a very strong number for them here. I'm trying to look real quick. Has anybody else run here this year? Stardom did on the 3rd. Stardom did 960. Dragon Gate claimed at 2,000. And let me see what Noah did. So Noah did 1,100 the last time they ran here. Wow. Noah ran Manabu Soya and Tatsumi Fujinami versus Jinsei Shinzaki and Kano. Did you know that?
No, but I'm glad to see that the spirit of Michinoku Pro is alive in Pro Wrestling Noah.
That was the main event. I'm speechless.
I'm more confused about Soya than anything. But I know Soya got a GHC match like recently, but like, yeah.
So Soya and Fujinami versus Jinsei Shinzaki and Kano. That's your main event. 26:18 the time on that. 3rd from the top, GHC national title match. Jack Morris defeats Hajime Ohara in 14 minutes.
And the crowd goes mild.
I never saw a match graphic with that main event. I didn't know that existed. Second match on the show, Alejandro Ninja Mac and Extreme Tiger versus AlphaZo Super Crazy and Teriyaki. I saw zero humans talk about this show. I'm not convinced anybody was there. This is the weirdest thing.
Yeah, it's just like, what are we? Yeah, that's just something where like you kind of like walk away and you go like, yeah, no, it makes sense you're doing this. But I think in that you have Dragon Gate loaded this show up. I mean, you had four title matches. You had your biggest program since last summer have finally the one-on-one matchup here. You have Noah, Kaito Kiyomiya, outsiders bringing in people coming from Noah to this Dragon Gate show. Like it's not like when we compare and contrast these, one company put their best foot forward in a new market. The other company, I guess, wanted to do Kanoa a favor.
I don't know. I'm blown away by that. But yeah, I mean, look, this was a loaded show. They treated this show like a big deal, like it was a Dead or Alive or, you know, a Gate of Destiny or Final Gate. You know, I wish they would have put as much care into Final Gate as they did this show, quite honestly. But yeah, like you said, you know, Shun versus Monte is one of, if not the single biggest Dreamgate match you could have done. Loaded title matches, you know, Kagetora Hyo kind of had some late momentum to it. The Triangle Gate match with the hometown guys felt big. And then you had the Twin Gate match, which I will be talking extensively about. So, very positive vibes coming away from this show, not even to mention the return of Mochizuki Jr. Just a lot going on here and a lot to like.
Absolutely. And I think we kind of first need to kind of talk about the overall Big Hug stands tall, ends the show announcing that they are going from tag team to full stable. But really the story of this there, I think we have to go straight to the Dreamgate match, the main event.
Yes.
Luis Monte defeating Shun Skywalker clean as a sheet with a drop kick into the ropes, rebounding into a Vuelta finale. First successful defense, Luis Monte does not become a zero key holder. And it does really kind of, in a way, I know that Jay talked about like getting the match after someone becomes a champion on commentary, kind of offering that point of being able to get Shun Skywalker playing and clean in the ring. And I guess that's kind of like my step away, is like thinking about the Shun logic going into this match is something I didn't really consider beforehand.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, the word is efficient. This was a very efficient main event in the sense that, one, it was a great match. And I think you have a baseline here of 4.25 stars. And if you're into what Shun does, like myself, you're going to bump it up a quarter star, give it 4.5. If the Shun act, for whatever reason, has run thin in your eyes and you're not as into it, you're probably going to bump it down a quarter star and go 4 stars. I would seriously question anybody's analysis that doesn't have this as at least a 4-star match. I mean, where did you have it, Mike?
I was 4.5. I thought that this felt a lot more natural than the aspect of the Final Gate match between Monte and Kakuta.
Like, oh, this night and day. I mean, this, the only complaint about this match is, one, the finish, which wasn't bad, but was awkward. And mm-hmm. two, just the fact that they did it in January and not July. And maybe, you know, maybe they circle back to it. I don't know. But the only thing that this match was missing to take it to the next level was, I go back to what I said in December when the 3-way match was announced. Shun should have won that match and Monte should have won the belt on this show. Monte wins the belt on this show. We're talking about a match of the year contender, but the heat wasn't there the way that it should have been, because Monte came in as your babyface champion, having in a way kind of already vanquished his top contender. It was a very, you know, very strange dynamic going into this match, but I thought they worked past it. I thought they worked largely a brilliant match and just another high-end Shun Skywalker match.
Yeah, and I think the fun thing about this match and the real compare and contrast about the Final Gate match and the one we had at Bayside, Monte actually really got to fly and fly in a natural kind of fashion. Like, this felt like, oh, he is a heavyweight, but he's able to fly with Shun Skywalker. And it's something that it became like a new element to Luis Monte that we have not really had at all whatsoever. Whereas I felt like with like Kakuta, like there was like the moments there, but it was all kind of awkward and predicated on like the cooperation versus like, oh no, this felt like a actual like big moment, especially like when they went from like the Super Tigre, which I've hated as a finish. I'm glad that they've pretty much been like, all right, that's not the finish anymore. But making that into the Last Ride powerbomb, that was the moment. It was like the level of brutality that they were able to do and keeping this as more of a flying base heavyweight match, I thought was really remarkable and was what kind of, it was what set it apart. And I feel like made this like that much more of a better match for Monte than what we had in Fukuoka.
Well, look, add it to the list of guys that are going to do their best work against Shun Skywalker. You know, you think about the generational rivalries with Yuki Yoshioka and Ben K. You think about the relationship that he has with Madoka Kakuta. You think about the relationship that he has with Jackie Funky Kamei. And now Monte, you not only have the history of those guys as a tag team and what they did together there, but he's the perfect foil for Monte, because you're right. Shun is big enough that Monte can fly around and literally jump on him. But then also Shun has this level of physicality that makes Monte really sympathetic. And I love throughout the match, not only the signature moves, you know, the big high impact moves that normally lead to pinfall attempts. Shun had counters for those, but Shun also had counters for the garnish, if you will, you know, the little things that make Monte who he is, the rope flip into the springboard dropkick. Shun met him and kicked him in the head right when he flipped over the ropes. There was just little stuff like that laced throughout this match that I thought was so good. And Monte needed this. I really think the win at Final Gate, it was bad in the moment. It's only going to age worse. But there was something about this match that really gave me confidence in him as a champion. I think, one, look, they've told at least one element of the Shun story, and it feels like he got that monkey off his back, and it feels like he can defend the title against anybody and is going to be okay. But also, Shun spent 25 minutes making this guy look like $1 million, and you know what? He kind of needed it, and I'm glad it happened.
Yeah, and it's something where I think we come out of this and where we kind of knew after Gate of Destiny, it was like, oh, all right, now we have Monte back. Like, that's going to be, have to be accounted for some way with the Dreamgate. This was the story that needed to be told. And maybe the idea about not stringing out the fall of Shun Monte into a full year long thing is now you get to have Monte as champion with other kind of matches out in front of him. Like, yeah, he has a completely open dance card, with the way I kind of look at it with him, and at a point where there's going to be some shakeups happening. And I think that coming out of Gate of Bayside, this is what we were always wanting early on in Madoka Kakuta's reign, right? Like, we were hoping that the match at Kobe World with Yuki Yoshioka was going to be the next, not the crowning moment, but the solidifying moment in the moment. It's like, yeah, I am the champion. I walked in here and I'm walking out of here as champion. I'm the person at the top of the mountain. We did not ever have that moment with Kakuta. Even when he defeated Kota Minora at Dangerous Gate, putting down the King of Gate, even when with all the build and putting Shimizu and having the story of Shimizu kind of fighting back up and doing this, that was a great match, but that was kind of putting down the rival. That was not really solidifying him.
No,
we had this here.
You're exactly right. And I forget who said in the Discord. I apologize. I can't find the post. I was just looking for it. But you know, they were right. It's like, I think there's a level of concern you can have coming out of this match, because no one, I don't think, is going to put in the amount of care to making sure that Monte ever looks this good again. But I don't know if he needs it, because Shun did such a good job. So credit to him. Let's talk about moves in this match real quick. I want to highlight sort of the finishing stretch here. Shun hits the rock bottom and the moonsault knee drop. Monte pops up on a kick out at one. They do the same sequence a second time. Monte kicks out at two. Shun goes to the top rope, goes for a traditional moonsault off the top. Monte gets his knees up, and Mike Shun Skywalker takes one of the great bumps of all time.
I mean, basically using him like a spring in a Sonic the Hedgehog game. Like, Monte just flew him. I almost thought that they were going to do like a Hamrick bump off of it.
That, you know what? Think about this. If you haven't seen the match, Shun Skywalker does a moonsault to the middle of the ring. Luis Monte gets his knees up in the middle of the ring, and Skywalker damn near did the Hamrick bump. You're exactly right, Mike.
Yeah, it's wild. And it's one of those things that it is. Yeah. I know that Gayora made sure that GIF is not floating around anymore, but it was one of the most damnedest things like you have seen. And that's in a match where I thought Skywalker stuck him with that last ride going out of the Super Tigre. Like I saw the GIF of the almost Hamrick bump, but the spot that got me was how gnarly that powerbomb was.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, you know, you come off that moonsault bump. Monte does a 450, springboard 450, doesn't get the pin, which I like that spot. He was selling his ribs. Super Tigre for a two count. Volta Finale's countered, you know, into one roll up and then another. Monte hits the Bloodfall for a two count, which do you remember him ever doing that?
No, I was wondering if he was going to put a little English on it because of Kato right
it
now.
It looked like. I know there's not a huge difference in the moves. It came across more Burning Hammer than it did Bloodfall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like not really like a pause in the Bloodfall. It was more like a straight dumping you kind of thing.
Yeah. So that gets the two count. And then, like you said, it's an odd finish. You know, they stand up middle of the ring. Monte drop kicks Shun into the ropes and then hits the Volta Finale for the pin. And it's his finish. It makes sense. I've never really seen a finish set up like that before. And I'm thinking if the match has another 90 seconds to it and they really stick the landing, I'm probably even bumping this up to 4.75. But that finish was so odd that I had to stick it 4.5 stars.
Yeah, it's something where they've kind of built up that Monte's getting these wins awkwardly out of nowhere in the way, but he's so like, clean as a sheet. Like, I don't think that you could look at this title defense, even though it kind of came into like a momentum base of Volta Finale. I don't think you could say like, oh, he is a weak looking champion. It is something where it's like, oh, maybe you build this up that he can hit the Volta Finale out of nowhere. Or if this was kind of built up a little bit more, yeah, there would be no need for that 90 seconds of hesitation. It just seems like they're now solidifying that he's able to get power bombs out of nowhere now.
Yeah, very strange, but a very good match overall. Again, you know, Kakuta did not get this. He got, you know, match of the year contender against Shun when he won the belt. And then weird match against Yoshioka, weird match against Minoru, 3 months of no defenses, and then a title defense against Shimizu that was great, but was the Shimizu match, not the Kakuta match. And then he lost the belt. So, you know, as we've sort of talked about, minus the Yoshioka run in 2022, which was great, and there's this weird revisionist history to say that it wasn't. It was great. And the Shun stuff right after. We've had a period of time where the Dreamgate belt has not been as consistent as we would have liked. At least there's not confidence in the Dreamgate belt, and I would really like to see Monte restore that confidence. An excellent match, one you need to go out of your way to see if you have not seen it.
Yeah, and I think it is kind of that confidence builder that now we look down to Champion Gate and Nostalgia Gate, and now we go like, okay, who's next? Because there was no indication of a next opponent there. It does not feel like that we're getting the build up to Johnny Valletta in this situation. Like he has a free an open dance card, and it's kind of exciting to see.
Yeah, you know, I really hope we get him and Yoshioka at some point. Ideally in Osaka, but we don't know when Yoshioka is going to come back. And he obviously has Twin Gate business to attend to when he gets back. So we'll have to put that on hold. There is always the possibility, depending on how quickly he heals, that Tien Revolution is waiting in the wings and that he could be the guy to stand, you know, nose to nose against Monte and really give him a run for his money. There's Mochizuki, as in Masaki and Susumu, and then later on in the year, Junior. You know, and there's a lot of fishes to play with in this pond. I'm really curious to see what direction they go, and I'm excited. I was really nervous heading into this match about the state of Monte and his Dreamgate run, but I'm feeling much better about it after Gate of Bayside.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on this. It is a kind of confidence around the Dreamgate belt that I don't feel like we've had in almost a full calendar year. So
and it goes back to, and I'll, you know, look, this is my own thing, but I said at the start of the year, by the end of 2024, we will have a very good understanding of where Shun falls historically in Dragon Gate, and it's the stuff like this, right? You know, this is,
oh, yeah.
you know, Will Ospreay is the most selfless wrestler in the world. It's part of what makes him so great. You know, Ospreay gets off on making stars in the ring with him. And Shun has that. You know, he has that same quality. And other than Ospreay, I struggle to think of anybody in wrestling right now. It's like Ospreay, Danielson, and Skywalker. Those three guys get more out of their opponents, whether they're below average wrestlers, or world-class wrestlers, than anybody else right now.
No, absolutely. And it's something where, yeah, the state of Shun Skywalker might become more clear when we talk about the other big event on the show, the state of Z-Bratz versus Natural Vibes case. It looks like we are now fully back into this war that there were times last year where it seemed like we were going to get in full-fledged combat. But after the Triangle Gate match, Z-Bratz turning aside the Natural Vibes team of KZ, Shimizu, and Strong Machine J. In the Battle of Yokohama, it is Kai winning with the Meteo Impact Kai. But that's probably not the headline coming out of this match, this Triangle Gate match, as we have a second match, Mass Z, that appeared and was involved into the finish. Strong Machine J has Ishin dead to rights with the machine suplex. And the referee is pulled out by this Mask Z number two that has Jackie Funky Kamei's overalls with him, Case. And this is after a night where UT and Johnny Valletta face off. Johnny kind of puts him into the dirt as we expected. And all this building to right now, we do, other than the matches that Case alluded to, we do have two matches elsewise announced for Memorial Gate and Wakayama on the 4th, and for the Truth Gate Corquin on the 7th. On the 4th, we have for the Triangle Gate. Currently, we will see if this holds up by the time of the match. Currently, it's a champion team of Kai, Ishin, and Kato versus KZ, Shimizu, and Kamei. So trading out Yokohama for Tottori there. And then on the Corquin, we have a 10-man elimination tag, just elimination Case. We don't know anything else. But it's KZ, Shimizu, Strong Machine J, UT, and Jackie Funky Kamei versus Skywalker, Kai, Ishin, Kato, and Valletta. We are back in Vibes versus Z-Bratz territory.
Very, very much so. And I'm into that. That's a winning combination. I'm looking forward to the Corquin match. Triangle Gate match in ring. I thought it was okay. I thought it was the weakest of the four title matches on the show.
It got there.
Yeah, not a bad match by any means. The finishing stuff with the two hometown guys, Kai and Strong Machine J, I mean, that delivered, and that turned this into a quality match. But the weakest of the four title matches, even if I like the result. Let's get reckless. Let's talk about Mask C.
Yep, yep.
The clubhouse leader is UT. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that we always operate with the idea of there's someone in this costume right now, but in Dragon Gate, it doesn't matter who it is until they actually unmask. So even though this was a smaller person as Max Z 2 in Jackie Funky Kamei's gear, does not automatically say, oh, it has to be someone super small. Though I do think UT is the prohibitive clubhouse favorite. I don't think JFK is doing the turn here. I feel like it's going to be UT snapping and then becoming the new fall post for whatever Z-Bratz ends up being soon.
So you got a few notes here. UT on Twitter was advertising that he just ordered and had designed new Natural Vibes gear. You can see that tweet from January 27th. So, you know, this is something Dragon Gate's done in the past where they've released, I think it was the Millennials. They released a new Millennial shirt on the day of a unit disbands match, and then the Millennials lost the unit disbands match. So it's not a definitive, like, oh, well, that's a tell that he's not gonna turn. There was a wrestler on Japanese commentary. I got this note from somebody that lives in Japan that Hyo was doing commentary during the show and mentioned that this wrestler had, quote, a bit of darkness in their heart. And that wrestler is the person who I feel pretty strongly is Mask Z. I think it's Daiki Yanagiuchi.
Daiki has darkness in his heart?
That's what Hyo said on commentary.
I mean, Hyo would be the person who understands Short King's evilness, you know?
He is roughly the same size as Kamei and as UT. Very similar build. Hard to tell with the baggy clothes, but it seems like this guy might even be a little bit pudgier than UT is. That sounds like Daiki Yanagiuchi to me.
And you see, I thought that Daiki was the very easy young guy in Big Hug.
It would make sense, and that would not surprise me either. I think he's possibly got two homes here, but the Hyo thing feels too obvious, and that is just not what Drangate does. And so I'm leaning towards it being Daiki. Now, remind me, you just have a better memory of this stuff than I do. Was there anything that we could tell between Daiki and Gianna Valletta that might lead us to thinking there's a turn here or no?
Well, Daiki didn't want to go out to fight Johnny.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that was the reason why that match was so excruciating, is because Daiki was like, no, I'm not doing this. So you could go in that direction.
Yeah, there might be something there. I can't entirely ignore it. So that is my my pick right now. I would say, just throwing other names out there, no on La Estrella, I would assume.
No. He's based, I think, in Texas now. Or
yes,
like he's
yes,
been
he is.
He's been in Texas, yeah.
Yeah. What about Ryo Fuda?
I mean, Fuda, I like if it wasn't going to be UT, Fuda would be my number two, mm-hmm. because you get him into a unit when he's way past that time of needing to do so. He has a natural reason to turn heel, you know, and I think it's something whereas Tien Revolution's injury, I just expect not to hear a single thing about the guy until he shows back up. And that could be any time between now, which I don't think, or next year, which I'm more likely to think. But I think that with Fuda, with the hand and with everything, that they might try to get it, that he would be a lot sooner to a return, I guess.
Yeah, that's I think that's a fair statement there. I mean, the you know, at Nagano's out, he's not going to be it. You know, do you see Jason Lee turning heel? I know he's, you know, I think he's in that Triangle Gate match, but they can have a different guy under the suit. Is he not? Okay, well then, is Jason Lee an option?
Here's the thing about Jason. Jason is noticeably gaining weight, and it's something to talk about commentary. He might be pushing for heavyweight right now, and I that gives a good enough reason to have him turn. You know, he's not he's actually right now, I think, the longest tenured babyface, other than him and a Dragon Kid.
Yeah, that's a great stat. I think you're maybe KZ has him beat by just a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's one of the it would be KZ then Jason Lee, but Dragon Kid you have to take off the board because Dragon Kid hasn't been heel in 14 years.
Yeah, but okay, that's a good stat there. That's good to know. So I got my vote goes to Daiki Yanagiuchi here, but we'll see. I'm excited to see what comes of that. I always enjoy that angle.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I would like it not to be UT just because I'm like, I don't see it as a step forward for him. He's going to kind of be in the same spot as he is. So I'm intrigued by Ryo Fuda, but I like the idea of the darkness in Daiki Yanagiuchi's heart. Like, how is this guy evil? I want to know. I want to know the TO. I have so many questions about that. But it's something where we are veering back to this all-out war that they've kind of gone back and forth with. I mean, we think about the last time there was a Mask Z case. They first appear during the all-out war that happened in 2022 at Dangerous Gate. Like, this has been a simmering thing between Natural Vibe and Z-Bratz basically since Z-Bratz formed. Like, after Shun got out of whatever the Masquerade Madness he was dealing with, he immediately went towards Natural Vibes. And it just seems like that we've been building to this inevitable conclusion and hopefully a really heated units disband match for the last 2 years now.
Are you thinking Dead or Alive cage match is a possibility?
You know, Aichi wants to have their damn cage.
You put Shun in there with his mask, KZ in there with, you know, if Vibes, if he's the last one out, Vibes has to disband. Kamei in there with his hair, Strong Machine J in there with his mask.
Kato in there
with his hair, you know, and Ishin maybe. I mean, that's, you know, that's the positive is if it's like somebody like Daiki, you can kind of humiliate him in that cage match.
Yeah, just treat him like a Katoka.
Yeah, and live to fight another day. You know, he's got to pay his dues at some point. So I think there's a real positive there. Whereas it's weird, like,
I can't get to a cage match in Aichi outside of this, unless you're doing this way.
Yeah, but even like, so like, if UT turns, he ultimately becomes the fall post, but you kind of have to push him for a little bit, whereas Daiki can turn and still not win. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but pushing UT, you're not going to give him the Brave Gate as a heel.
No.
Like, Hyo, like, the worst thing you could do right now in the company is to take that belt away from Hyo. You need to ride that until the crowds start turning. I don't see him becoming a Twin Gate partner. Like, that's the weird thing. Like, you have to push him, but it's not like, unless Vibes get the belt and then they get the belts back, I don't see how he gets elevated.
Well, I mean, look, if I have the pencil, I'm doing a Kato Daiki Twin Gate team real quick. I mean, that sounds like so much fun. But
And I think that's a lot more likely than Kato UT.
Somebody brought up a good point. Again, I forget where. I don't mean to not credit people. I just forget because I consume too much content.
We have entered. We could pull back the veil here. We're entering 3 hours of recording today.
They're busy people. But I just don't remember. But somebody made a list of all the Rey de Parejas tag teams from last year. And a majority of the teams are going to have to be different. Let me pull it up real quick because I thought it was an astute
because
point.
Because you have Courage Ass as winning. And then we don't
courage
know.
Courage Ass.
But Courage is still out. We don't know when Yuki's eye is going to be fixed. So that seems off the board.
So let's even give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's say Kakuta and Yoshioka stay the same. So we'll keep them in. Benkei and Minorita. Minorita's not back. So they're going to be different. Hulk and Minoru.
Could it be Minorita?
I don't think so. I'm trying to figure out why he would be involved in Vibes and Z-Bratz.
Yeah. That's fair.
Because he's even smaller than UT.
Yeah, but timing wise, this would line up.
So Ben and Minorita, that's not going to happen. Hulk and Minoru, there's no reason that can't happen again. So keep Hulk and Minoru, keep Yoshioka.
Why would
Kakuta.
You do that when you could do Team Muscle though?
That's fair. That's fair. I don't want to see it. I would rather see Team Muscle. Daya and Dragon Kid. I would assume this becomes Daya and Ryoya Tanaka.
Mm-hmm.
Hyo and Ishin can't do that, so that's going to be a different team. Kamei and Lee, you can run back, and God willing, they will. Nagano and Kato, that has to be a different team. The Mochizukis, that has to be a different team. You can do Shun and Kai again. You can do Strong Machine J and a Strong Machine. You can maybe do Susumu and Kanda, but that feels like a retread. And then you've got Yamadoi, and I would certainly hope that they're back in it. So you're looking at, you know, half those teams have to be different. And that's not mentioning the choices that they could make of, you know, Team Muscle instead of Hulk and Minoru, let's say.
Yeah, no. So, and I wonder if, like, you're not going to get Kiyomiya for it. Like, they're clearly positioning this that Kiyomiya is only here when he has to defend the belt and he won't be here afterwards. So maybe could you see them putting another Noah team in that, though?
I don't think I want another Noah team.
I'm not saying, like, I want them to put a Noah team in there, to be clear, Case. I'm just saying, like...
Well, I mean, do you think they would do, like, Eita and Hayata?
I could see them doing Eitan Hayata.
Right. Especially, I kind of said that. I was like, oh, that seems like a super realistic possibility.
Right. Yeah. I see that more likely than Yamadoy. I'll put it that way.
They got to have Yamato in it. They could do Yamato and Dragon Kid, but that would be boring. I think they do Yamadoy again.
I mean, if they did.
Unless Doi's working Dynamite, which could very easily be happening.
I mean, it seems like Naruki Doi is about to be I mean, no, he has technically still has a contract. Kind of.
Yeah. No, it seems like there's a push to get him into America. So interesting. Where were we at here? Triangle Gate match still?
Yeah, we basically both kind of talked around it. It was fine. I was 3.5 stars on it. I like seeing what Kato is further doing as the bad cop role, but really this was the match about Mask Z pulling the ref and the Battle of Yokohama there.
And it was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. Now let's get into it. Open the Twin Gate Championship match. Kaito Kiyomiya and Alejandro defend against Kung Fu Masters Jackie Funky Kamei and Jason Lee with a modified Shining Wizard on Kamei. Just holy shit, Kaito Kiyomiya. Like we talked about how Alejandro wanted to become a Dragon Gate wrestler. Maybe you need to get up your Misawa Death Cult and come over here.
This is my favorite Dragon Gate match, and I don't know how long. And you know, there were matches that I saw that were better than this last year. This isn't going to be my top 10 come year end list, but oh my God. I mean, I had so much fun watching this. One, before we even get to the Noah team, it's funny you said the thing about Jason Lee earlier. I thought Jason got too big last year. You know, he has always been such a special wrestler because of how quick he is and how he's able to maneuver around the ring. And I think he lost a lot of that last year. He had way too much muscle and really slowed down. And this, to me, looked like prime Jason Lee, and that was really exciting.
Yeah, I thought that Jason looked great in this, but yeah, for me, this, I would say that going backwards, like we're talking about favorite match since, I like this more than Shimizu versus Kakuta, but do I like this more than Kongo versus M3K?
I probably do, but you know, again, you're splitting hairs. I mean, just right, on a personal favorite list, I mean, that's probably the match that I would compare it to. You're exactly right on the timeline, but man, I don't know. This match was, I can't believe Kaito Kiyomiya is wrestling this way in Dragon Gate. You know, it makes sense that he tries as hard as he does in New Japan. And I watched World Tag League stuff with him in it because I was like, oh, I'm kind of intrigued. I like, you know, I want to see more of him in a different environment. And I thought he crushed it there. But, man, I was really dreading that Final Gate match because as Jay hammers home on commentary time and time again, you know, Kiyomiya didn't want to be a wrestler. He wanted to be a Noah wrestler. And there was such a stark contrast between, you know, I'll get into whatever dojo I can, and Kiyomiya, who was like, I'm either going to be in Noah or I'm not going to wrestle. I really thought it would be lackadaisical and low effort and just a piss poor performance from a guy who felt like he had better things to do. And he worked his ass off at Final Gate and he impressed me. And I just can't believe how much better he is outside of pro wrestling Noah, because Kaito Kiyomiya was amazing in this match.
It was something where it was almost like that all the consternation and like the aboveness that Okada had during their feud, he finally took something from that and he's applying it in Dragon Gate, of which he's only really here because Yuki Yoshioka called him out and he's waiting for Yoshioka to come back, and he's having, I think, some of the best stuff in his career right now.
I mean, the way, like, and you know, this is the crazy thing, right? So he works Ben and Minoru at Final Gate, and even that was a red flag for me because it was like, oh, he's working the heavyweights. Like, okay, all right. You know, I've seen this rodeo before. He's not going to give him anything. And, you know, God forbid he's in there with a smaller wrestler. You know what's going to happen. He was in there with Jason and Jackie. And he was so giving at times and so dominant when he should have been. And I just can't believe that it's It's this guy who, you know, as I said before, Final Gate, like, look, I've never been a huge Kiyomiya guy. Not, I mean, just no hate. He's just not a wrestler that I've had the connection to in the way that other people have. But it's undoubted at this point. I mean, he's worse in pro wrestling Noah than he is anywhere else. And I've enjoyed, this match in Dragon, I think, was better than anything he's done in New Japan. And I've really enjoyed the New Japan stuff. This was an elite performance. The way that he worked over Kamei's knees, the dragon screws that he gave those guys.
The DDT.
The finishing stretch, which in my written review at voiceswrestling.com, I went frame by frame and typed in move by move the last about 45 seconds of this match. Because it was that good that it deserved. I don't normally write move by move. I'll highlight things here and there. But I went full on Dave and the Observer, you know, leapfrog, dragon screw, counter, pinfall, whatever. Because it deserved that. I mean, it was so, so good. And I've gone from, let's get this over with. You know, I don't really want to see Kaito Kiyomiya and Dragon Gate because I don't think he's going to care. To like, wait a minute, how long can these guys hold the belts? Like, I want to see him go against the entire roster now.
Yeah, and it's something where I think the thing that gets me about this match and why this match kind of resonates, this is a 12-minute match. 12 minutes. It's not a slow build match. Like, the thing about this, Ginky was on commentary. Ginky added a lot to this. Nothing against Hoho on commentary, but it is something, though, that I think Ginky has a little bit of a more willingness to kind of not necessarily keep kayfabe, but being willing to kind of tell it straight. And Ginga said, like, oh yeah, this is Kung Fu Master's best match, I think, in Twin Gate history, and talking about the match of Shun Monte. But that was a match, the Shun Monte match, where there was a load of selling, a load of work on Jackie, leading to the hot tags there. This was a lot more compressed and I think tidy. And I think that's what kind of makes the Kiyomiya performance more stark, more profound, is that this felt like a peak Twin Gate match. This did not feel like Can-Am's versus Kikuchi and Kobashi.
No, it was the Dragon Gate style. It was Kiyomiya stepping into an environment that I've never seen him in before, and he thrived there. Alejandro, you know, we've done that. I mean, he should be begging Noah, and I don't know what his deal is. In terms of, you know, his contract status, he should
full trade him and Kano for Eita now. Full trade.
Whatever you have to do, give Noah a dojo kid so they can have some bit of youth on the roster for their first time in forever. I don't care what they have to do. Alejandro should be in Dragon Gate. This is a guy who, much like Kiyomiya, wrestles in Noah. And again, I'm not picking on fans of Noah here. This is the way that I analyze this promotion. Kiyomiya wrestles with a level of trauma in Noah. You know, it's like a loveless marriage. He's been burned too many times, but he's afraid to leave. I wish, for the sake of his career, he would take a page out of Yoshihiro Takayama's playbook and become this dominant freelance champion that will work anywhere, that can do anything, that, you know, promotions that go against one another politically can come together to book this guy, because he is now wasting parts of his career, his athletic and mental prime. They're together. You know, he's doing it. He's doing the thing. He's just not doing it in Noah. He's doing it in Dragon Gate in New Japan. And I just can't say enough good things about this match. You know, I went 4.5 on this. I went 4.5 on the main event, but this is my favorite match of the year so far, outside of Okada Danielson. This is the best tag team match I've seen. 2 versus 2. 4.5 stars, and just, it was just beautiful for what it was.
Oh, this is my match of the year at this point. Like, I'm totally with you on that as well. It is something very special getting to kind of see this. And this has been like the fun side about, like, we got through all of our usual Noah kind of hangups over the last like 36 months. I feel like, okay, it's like we've worked through the Noah situation of Dragon Gate immensely. And I feel like getting through all of that to get something as fun and as just like unmitigated greatness as this match kind of made it a little bit worse.
I can't say enough good things about it. So, you know, at some point we'll get Yoshioka and Daya versus Kiyomiya and Alejandro. You know, I don't know if it'll be in Osaka. You know, I don't know if they'll do it in Tokyo. I don't know what their plan is, but I'm not rushing towards it. You know, I would really like to see more of these guys in Dragon Gate. I'm really curious to see what that's going to look like.
I would be very tempted in seeing like, okay, you go face someone in Osaka. We build up someone through Rey de Parejas. They lose. And then dead or alive, original D-Courage versus Kiyomiya and Alejandro, and you get the belts back there. I think that's what you do.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the roster right now. So, you know, they've done the gold class thing they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you could do, you know, big time. I mean, you could do KZ and Shimizu. You could do Yamato and Dragon Kid. I think that'd be super interesting.
Do we think, though, that Natural Vibes would be in a state to have a challenger team, though, at that time?
By Osaka, early March, yeah, probably. I don't think they're kicking the bucket that soon.
Okay, that's fair. That's entirely fair. But yeah.
What can we do? And the answer is financial incentives. I don't know who we send this money to do Kiyomi and Alejandro versus Yamadoi. Because that's the match that they're leaving on the table here.
Dude, all right, I'm gonna go get a second mortgage. Let's do this.
We follow the Sponge Guy on Twitter. We got to be able to get in touch with him
somehow. I mean, like, if we're...
Well, I guess we follow the mascot. I don't know if we follow him. I think we just follow a guy in a suit.
yeah, and we follow the mascot, guys. Let's be clear here. Although I feel like that Gekoichi-kun should be able to dictate these things, let's call it spade a spade. It is the mascot of that.
Yeah, but that feels like the match that if they were going to really squeeze this thing until they can't anymore, that would be the match to do. But I'm curious to see what's next, because this is a match that if you haven't seen it yet, stop the podcast, watch the match, come back and listen to the rest of this podcast.
Absolutely. And the last title match we had on the show, Hyo defending against Kagetora. He gets the win with Hunting in under 10 minutes in case we do not get the Hyo lifetime achievement, best match of his career, singles match, we were hoping.
Kicked ass, though. Thought it was really good. 3¾ stars, but no, not the definitive Hyo match I was hoping for.
It's something that's very kind of frustrating for me, where I was a little lower than you. I was 3.5 on this, and the finish stretch was good. Hyo's stardom is just ever-present. His new gear looks awesome. It is wild that this is the guy that wore Chuck Taylors and short tights for a long time. He looks like the biggest star in the company each time he comes out now. Like, it's remarkable, but...
It's what I wrote about in my review. Mm-hmm. It's like, look, it's undeniable. He's the guy with the baton right now. You know, and Shun plays his role on the other side of the fence perfectly, and he feels like a leading heel, but it's not Monte. It's not Yamato in his current state with his current momentum. It's not Kakuta. Hyo has become the most over guy in this promotion, and it's awesome. Again, the only thing that he's doing wrong is that he doesn't have that signature match. That's the only flaw he has in his game right now.
And his finisher sucks.
And his finisher, yes.
Hunting is not good. Like,
they did it with both the Big Hug guys. They both got shitty finishers.
New finishers, too. Yeah. Like the Samson driver, yes, it's not a flash pin, but it is kind of have that air of that. But it's over. The crowd buys it as a finish and doesn't buy it in a flash pin kind of way. Why are you having him stall on the top rope and do the pose and waste time for a okay looking cutter when you have something that the crowd's already bought into and everyone's fine?
Yeah, and I was trying to rack my brain around, like, okay, if you don't want Hyo lifting somebody for his finish, I get it. He's a smaller guy. I can see them maybe wanting to pivoting away from that, but they got to figure something else out, because that move's not it.
Yeah, and he has, like, the kick, the one he has, like, the diving enziguri that doesn't really work. He has, like, his TKO that he could use.
Does he have a top rope move? Does he do a senton?
Yeah, he doesn't go from the top anymore, but he used to have the top rope senton as a finish.
That's the thing. I worry about those senton guys. I don't need him doing a senton, but he should be doing a double stomp.
I think him doing this is not a company that really has done double stomps since Shima.
That's a bummer.
Yep. No, but it we'll see where this goes next to for Hyo. He has punched a Monaga. That's not going to be it. But we'll look ahead to Osaka. Maybe he gets that trademark win there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, look, I really enjoyed it. I thought Kagetora came to play. Credit to him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a more productive 2024 already than he had 2023. Really, you know, I think it was John Hernandez.
2023, he came in during the final match of Hyatt. At this time, I would say it's equidistant, but from now on, he has much more momentum he did than last year.
I remember who said this. So credit to John Hernandez of talking about how their movesets just played off one another very, very well. And, you know, we saw, and this is, you know, the Jesse Collins part of the Gentleman's Wrestling podcast that he got frustrated with me with a few weeks ago. But, you know, because I called Hyo sneaky athletic during my Final Gate review, I called him sneaky athletic because we watched 4 years of slow plotting Hyo matches that you forget how athletic he is. And now we're just in full on greatest showman, handsprings, flips, flexes, muscles, the whole damn thing. Hyo is in his bag right now, and it's really nice to see.
Oh yeah, no, I am totally with you on that.
Do you think, real quick, sorry to cut you off, Do you think they do Hyo and Monte in Rey de Parejas, or is the timing of them becoming a full-fledged unit to get somebody in there so that neither of them have to take pinfalls and that they don't team them up together?
I mean, the problem is that if you put them in right now as they stand, they have to win. So I
they at least have to get to like the semifinals.
I mean, unless the team that beats them immediately gets a Brave or Dreamgate shot after the tournament,
which that is entirely possible.
Yeah, like I feel like that is the thing. Like maybe you could be like, okay, we can get our way into Hyo's Bravegate opponent at Dead or Alive through it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I think you've talked my way into it. Yeah, you don't have to have Big Hugs solidified by then. You can use it to build up the Big Show.
I would like to see them in because I'd like to see Big Hug versus Jason and Jackie while there's still a possibility of those guys teaming together for a while. That just, you know, I want to see that. That's all there is to it. That match is going to be good. I want to see that.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like that there's some mileage to that as well. Looking at the undercard, two clear things otherwise happening on the show. More pressing, the return of Mochizuki Jr. during an M3K match. This originally had Ultimo Dragon in it, but Ultimo Dragon decided to do a cruise. But Jr. returns in the one of the final matches of M3K. They win. M3K wins because it's a double countout in an M3K match, which means M3K wins in a double countout after a Junior Quebrada. Junior's back and he's cool as hell as he always has been. Case
look great, physically, gear look great. I have no complaints here. I'm thrilled that he's back.
I love his, like, because this was the gear he had at Dangerous Gate last year. And I think like that he looks like so much of a superstar. Like it looks, I'm glad that they're getting him away from wearing his like dad's gear in a way. Like,
no, he's got his own look. Yeah, it's nice to see. He's got his own color scheme, the purple and white that I like. He's there's nobody in wrestling that I'm more excited about, especially, you know, the under 25 division, especially the under 30 division. I'm still very annoyed that the Voices of Wrestling 30 under 30 last year, I think I was the only person to vote for, but just that very foolish.
Yeah. That some of that's on me. Some of that is on me. Definitely. Team Muscle versus Yamato and Tsuji Kondo. It is the sleeper of the almighty on Kota Minora. It looks like we have kind of a back burner feud, Yamato and Kota Minora. And to me, it feels like we're getting close. We might see a no ropes match in Minora's future.
Oh, that's a good call. I didn't pick up on that. You're right.
I think you could do that at a, because I kind of identify that as an old Yamato thing. I think you could do that at Nostalgia Gate, do a no ropes match, and everyone would be like, oh yeah, no, we don't see no ropes matches very often.
I like that. Wow. I really hadn't thought about that like that, but I'm into it.
You're going to try to do like things like you're going to bring back some stuff that like you're not going to be able to do. Like, I don't think anyone's anticipating the ability to do strong hearts or anything like that. Just
no,
take that off.
No. If you're thinking that, don't think that.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're thinking that, then you need to clean the wax out of your ears.
Well, we'll have our Nostalgia Gate conversation another time, but
yeah,
that's not happening.
But seeing, I like the idea of a prolonged Yamato and Minoru feud, and I feel like you can get to that no ropes match in March, and you won't have to worry about that in the cage. I think you can get that heated up enough over the next month.
Speaking of strong hearts, real quick, we're recording this January 30th our time. It's January 31st Japan time, which means 25 years since the first Toriyama show. Seen a lot of tweets from the Dragon Gate roster celebrating 25 years of the Dragon System. Do we think we get a Shima tweet?
Well, the most recent Shima tweet is talking about the Nagoya show that's going to go up in a couple hours for Glade. So we'll see. I don't think so. Maybe.
When did he, was it Shingo when he won the IWGP belt that he sent out a tweet about it?
I feel like he did that.
Yeah, and it was vague, but it was like my entire timeline was Dragon Gate wrestlers tagging Shingo and posting photos with him.
Yeah.
And like really like, oh my God, our guy is IWGP heavyweight champion. And then I just remember there being like a really vague Shima tweet about, you know, like cumulative success, basically. And I think it was supposed to be directed at Shingo.
Yeah, and I think that there was also not here, but I remember seeing like a kind of some sub tweets about that one from former roster members too.
Yeah. So I'm my eyes are peeled. I'm really curious to see if he says something or not.
Yeah, now that you said that, going to at Super Shima 1115, turning on notifications for new tweets.
Yeah.
Because
something to keep an eye on. It'll have already passed by the time people hear this, but something to keep an eye on for Mike and I.
Oh, by the time y'all hear this, make sure I've turned off that notification case. I don't need 30 tweets telling me, or 20 notifications tonight telling me that Glate version, or I'm sorry, G Pro Wrestling Volume 58 is available to watch on YouTube. I don't need that.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. But that leaves us with only the opener left to touch on. Case Don Fuji, Ginki Horiguchi, Daiki Yanagiuchi versus D-Courage Kakuta, Dai and Tanaka. Both Daiki and Tanaka going for their first pinfall. Not happening here. It was the hip drop on the Gooch. Fun little opener there, under 5 minutes.
Yeah, Daiki continues to look really good, which is why I'm kind of into him turning heel, because I think he's found something in ring-wise. He's got some real momentum right now.
Is Daiki Yanagiuchi the Dark Traveler?
Define Dark Traveler.
I don't know, and it is something where like I feel like he is haunted by... I'm not giving up on Hio asking, mentioning that there's a darkness on his soul. Like, I'm going to be thinking about this for like the next, like if it turns out not to be Daiki, I will not forget about this. And if it turns out that Max Z2 is Daiki Yanagiuchi, then I will make sure that like, I'll list this in my like will and testament. The case was,
I've been right about a lot of things over the years. I feel pretty confident in this one too. So we'll see. Mike, before we sign off, quick episode, because we're doing two podcasts in one night and I'm tired of talking. We have the Memorial Gate and Wakayama card. Do you want to hear it?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. I'm going to read each match. Give me thumbs up or thumbs down after each match, okay?
Absolutely.
Opening match, Madoka Kakuta and Dragon Daya versus Ginki Horiguchi and Kagetora.
Thumbs up. That'll be fun, a little opener.
Match 2, Ryoya Tanaka singles match versus Strong Machine J.
Thumbs up. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Want to see that.
All right. How about this one? Coach Minoru, Ben K, BB Hulk versus Don Fuji, Takashi Yoshida, and Ho Ho Loon.
That's an up for me, Gaze. I'm sorry. Sicko hours here, but I'm not hearing anything here that discourages me. We might not have a Wakayama Tornado winning match, but we don't have Larry Dallas there to make sure it's happening. But so far, 3 for 3. What do we got next?
Larry Dallas kept things in line. This is where we're gonna differ. Match number 4, Jason Lee and UT versus Shun Skywalker and Gianni Valletta.
Yeah, that's a down for me.
That's such
an
aggressive thumbs up for me. That is, I'm so excited to see that.
Yeah, this is the most we've diverged on something recently has been Gianni Valletta. But yeah, no, thumbs down.
Match 5, M3K Final Road in Tajimi. It is M3K versus Ultimo, Luis Monte, Yamato, and Dragon Kid.
I am here for it. I also want to see what kind of tan Ultimo has.
Hell yes. Match number 6 is your Brave Gate match, Hyo versus Punch.
Up. Hyo's real test. If Hyo gets a 4-star match, here,
he's not.
I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what.
And then finally, your main event, match 7. This is Kai, Ishin, and Kato defending the Twin Gate belts against KZ, Big Boss Shimizu, and Jackie Funky Kame.
Seems like Kai is back. I guess he just missed the Toyohashi show today. And that's
I get the feeling that's a bad injury that he's working through. I really fear that we're going to end up going from, oh, Kai's working through it, to no Kai for 8 months.
Yeah, it seems like, especially Bayside. So for those who don't know, Kai was pulled from Hyo's homecoming, which I'm bummed that did not make YouTube before we recorded today. I was so stoked to see the pride, the Panther pride in Toyohashi. We didn't get that. I just like get a sense from Gate of Bayside. His left or his right arm is really taped up. It's going to be like, I would not be surprised if we hear that he like tore the bicep off the bone at this point. Just because of working on it, working through it when you have like a bicep injury just makes things worse.
Yeah, very much so. So hope he's healthy for this match. And that is a Memorial Gate show that will not draw well, but the undercard is, I will say, very entertaining.
Yeah, it will be a fun show to get through the undercard. The Wakayama is such, I still don't think they know what they're going to do with Wakayama full turn time. Like Bayside, I think they figured out Gate at Bayside. Treat it like this should be the big six right here. Like it, the venue looks
yes,
good.
Very, very much. That's a good point. That the idea of this show made sense immediately.
Yeah, and it immediately superseded Wakayama, which is unless things have changed and no one has told me, still is a sold show for the Wakayama local TV. I think it is still.
I think you're right. You're right. I was going to say something and I completely forgot it the second I opened my mouth. So I have nothing else to say tonight, Mike.
Hey, buddy, neither do I. But for those of y'all who have not checked this out yet, we have put out for the 25th anniversary of the Toryumon Japan landing, January 31st, 1999, the launch of the King of Dragon Tour 1999. We brought back Rewind and Rewatch, and it might be the afterglow of us like recording that episode, but I love doing our timeline episodes. Okay, so if folks have not caught this one yet, make sure to go back and to catch that a Rewind and Rewatch on the podcast feed and also on YouTube probably by this time you listen to this.
Very much so.
And that will do it for us this week on Open the Voice Gate. We'll be back with you next week. You can follow us on Twitter at Open Voice Gate. Case is that underscore in your case. I'm at Fuchiheya. Thanks for listening to Open Voice Gate. We'll be back with you next time. Take care, everyone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.